Sefer Ikarim of Rav Yosef Albo, and to hopefully try to speak a little bit about the general topic of Ikari Emunah in general. Rav Yosef Albo was a Spanish Rav, lived in Saragossa in the Castile. He died in the mid-15th century, 1440s or so is when he was Nifter. Probably was born in the late 14th century. In general, we only know the death dates of people. We don't know the birth dates because they didn't know that a person was going to be great when he was born. So people didn't necessarily bother to keep track exactly of when he was born. Only later, when he ended up being a great person, so everyone kept track of when he died. So that's why in a lot of history books, you'll find that oftentimes the birth date is just 75 years before he died, which is just because they picked a random date in order to pick a birth date, an approximate birth date for a person. In general, nowadays we're very into remembering exactly birthdays when people are born, even like, you know, the family obviously remember. But back then it wasn't apparently as in vogue to remember when someone was born. Anyway, his Rabbeim were Rav Chasdoy Kreskas. His primary Rebbe was Rav Chasdoy Kreskas. Rav Chasdoy Kreskas is the author of the Sefer Or Hashem, a Sefer that we're not really going to deal with in this introduction to Machshava. That's gonna, that if one day we do more advanced at Machshava, so we'll have the opportunity to learn about the Or Hashem. The Or Hashem, Rav Chasdoy Kreskas, was one of the major Bali Machshava towards the end of the period of the Rishonim. And Rav Yosef Albo was a Talmud of his. He also was influenced by the Rashbates, Rav Shimon ben Samach Duran, who was the author of the Magen Avos and wrote Tshuvos of the Rashbates. Rav Yosef Albo, I don't think we know too much about his life. We do know that he, along with 20 other Rabbonim, participated in the Tortosa disputes, which were, at this time in Jewish history, there were many polemical disputes on religious topics between representatives of the church and Rabbonim. And he, along with 20 other Rabbonim, were part of a very famous dispute in Tortosa against 70 church scholars. And it's a little hard for us to necessarily understand the dynamics and why these things were such a big deal. But at the time, we know that the Ramban was involved in a famous dispute in Barcelona. We know that Rabbi Chilmi Paris and the Smag with Moshe Mikutzi were also involved in a famous dispute. So throughout this time, there were many famous polemical disputes with the Christians. And the Rabbanim, obviously, when you're doing it in front of the Christian king, so many times the outcome of the match is already decided before it begins. But, yeah, go ahead. Muslims, I'm not sure if the Muslims had with the Christians. The Jews and the Muslims, I'm not familiar with certainly famous disputes or polemics. But the Christian church, in general, what often happened was there would be a Jewish mishumud, a heretic, who would come to the church with, oh my gosh, you got to see what it says in this Gemara, you got to see what it says, and point out things that seem to be problematic or very offensive to the church. And then there would be a dispute, which would, you know, in a certain sense be a trial of sorts, where they would debate whether these specific statements, what they meant. And sometimes the disputes were not of that nature. Some of them were just, sometimes they were just discussing theology in general, where they discussed the relative strengths of the different positions of the different shitos of the different religions. But these disputes were a major force in religious life during the medieval time period. Now, that's a little bit about Rav Yosef Albo himself. His sefer, the Sefer Ikarim, the purpose of the sefer is to establish firmly what the introductory beliefs, what the basic beliefs of Judaism include, what they are. The Ikare, the Ikarim, the mainstays of the Jewish faith. Now, he takes for granted in the Sefer that it's crucial for a person to understand the foundations of his religion. And he tells us in the very beginning of the Sefer that the challenge that he faces, or the task that he faces of writing a Sefer about the Ikare Emunah, is both easy and challenging. Why is it easy? So he tells us it's easy because, and this is something that perhaps for you is going to be very surprising, because we live in a post-enlightenment world. He tells us that it's easy to write about this because everybody is religious. Where do you find anyone who's not religious and not talking about pinnacles, the articles and the principles of faith? Obviously, everybody's talking about this. What else are they talking about? So you're thinking, what do you mean, football and food? What do you mean, what else are they talking about? But we have to realize that in the Enlightenment, which began really in the late 1700s and really came to full force in the early 18th century, early 17th century and in the early 18th century. So you have to realize the Enlightenment changed the entire world and raised, we spoke a little bit about this when we spoke about Descartes, raised within the society tremendous doubt in faith and really paved the way for the modern atheistic society that we find ourselves in. Again, not that everybody's atheistic, but that the idea that everybody is religious and everybody, right, even though there are many people who may profess a belief in God nowadays and are not necessarily atheists, but the idea that the focus of life revolves around religion and God was something that was very just a given in earlier years, in the 1500s, the 1600s, but after that time period, was no longer the case. So that's what he tells us. He says, on the one hand, it's easy to write about the principles of faith, because what else are you talking about? This is what everybody talks about. This is what you talk about when you're having a glass of tea in the afternoon. You're talking about religion. On the other hand, he says that it's extremely challenging, because since everyone's talking about it, and everyone has their own opinion, and nothing's been firmly established, so it's very hard to point to what are the principles of the Jewish faith. What are the main ikarim of Judaism? And he tells you that, in fact, you write, and there are certain people, you look around, and there are some people who write that there are 13, such as the Rambam. But there are other people who add another 13 to that and write that there are 26 ikari emuna. And there are other people who write that there are only 6 ikari emuna. And we now know, the names won't necessarily mean much to you, but we now know who exactly these people are who held 26 and held 6. But the purpose of the Sefer, he tells us, and you could take a look in the first paragraph here, he tells us in the beginning the problem. Interesting, I'll show you there at the end of the first line. Im kaluta, what's the easy part? Lefi shekol ha'anashim ha'nodim hayom, everyone we know nowadays, b'olam, heim ba'alei dat. They are people of religion. And what's the problem? Because everyone's talking about it and nobody's able to agree. And because I saw this, ani hatzair Yosef albo, I see how important this whole issue is. Therefore, I decided I'm going to write a sefer to finally clarify the definitive work on what are the main principles of the Jewish faith. And that's what he tells you, the last line, the first paragraph. V'chibarti ha-sefer hazeh, v'karasi shemo, sefer ha-ikarim. And I wrote a sefer and I called it the sefer ha-ikarim. Now, probably the most important thing to understand, in order to understand not only what he discusses in the Sefer, but the structure of the Sefer, is to know what is an Iker. I keep using the word, Ikarim, Iker, so I keep translating it into English. Principles, articles, foundations. What does the word Iker mean, an Ikar? So Rav Yosef Albo tells us, he defines this in the first Ma'amar of the Sefer, Pere Gimel. He tells us, and this is the second source on your sheet, that what is an Iker? Shem Hunach Al Dover, it's the name that we use for something, She'amidas dover acher v'kiyumo toleibo. V'ein lo kiyum zulaso. It's something that other things depend on it to exist, and without it, they can't continue to exist. They would cease to be. An ikar is something that other things are talui on it. Kimo sha'ikar hu dover she'kiyum ma'ilan. For instance, like a tree. You can have the most beautiful tree in the world, a beautiful, towering tree. But if it has no roots, no base, no ikar, so then what's going to happen? It's going to fall down. It's not going to be able to stand. And he says, the same thing comes when we have principles of faith. Ikare emuna mean these are not just important things, but these are the things that without them, the religion as we know it would just dissolve. They can't be. And he uses this to begin to analyze what the Rambam's Ikarei Emunah are. Or to, remember, he's trying to present what he thinks the Ikarei Emunah are, and he's going to do this on the backdrop of the Rambam. In general, in Jewish Machshava, after the Rambam came along, everyone presented things on the backdrop of the Rambam. Either you were agreeing with the Rambam, or you were arguing with the Rambam, and therefore you had to explain how come and why you were arguing on the Rambam. So he tells us, let's take a look at some of the Rambam's Ikarim. So what does he tell us here in the second paragraph? He says, Umizat Sad, before we do this actually, let's just go over what are the Rambam's Yudgilim Ikarim. Very quickly, let's go through what are they. 13 principles of faith. In order, let's do them quickly. How should you know them though? What do you say every day or Shabbos or whenever? What do you say on a regular basis? Yigdal goes through all of the Yud Gimel Ikari of the Rambam, if you didn't know that. Yigdal Olam Chai, each line is one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim. So number one, get them down. Number one, in case you don't know them, Hashem exists. Messias Hashem. Number two, the unity of God, that God is one, that He's complete. Number three, God has no body. He's not physical. Number four, Kadmut, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the first being, He'll be the last being. He wasn't created out of anything. Nothing existed before Him. Number five, that Hashem is the only one that is deserving or fit for prayer. Something we discussed in the past when we discussed the Ramban. Is it appropriate to pray to intermediaries? No. Only Hashem. Rak Hashem Levado is the only one who we should be praying towards. Number six, the truth of the Nevi'im, that the words of the Nevi'im are true. Number seven, Moshe Rabbeinu had a special heightened level of Nevuah that cannot be challenged by later Nevi'im. Lokum bi Yisrael kemoshe od. What number are we up to? Number eight. What's number eight? That Torah is true, it is complete, that it is emes. Number nine, that the Torah won't be changed. Lo tiyeh muchlafes. We're not going to change the Torah. This man knows his stuff right here. Number 10. I spoke too soon, what? Yediyas Hashem, that Hashem knows what is going on, that He understands man. Big discussion of whether Hashkacha, that Hashem runs the world, is also included in Yediyah. I am the Hakdam of the Sefer Hashkacha Pratis. Okay, number 11. Schar v'onesh, that there's a concept in the world called reward and punishment. A system of reward and punishment. Number 12. That Mashiach will come. B'chol yom sheyavo. Okay, number 13. The drum roll. Tchias ha-nesim. That there will be a resurrection of the dead. These are the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim. Okay, so Rav Yosef Abel begins his analysis, and he tells us, now wait a second. He says, Vihine, in the middle of the middle paragraph, the second paragraph, Hine, HaRambam Samosam Yugimu Ikarim. The Rambam made 13, listed 13 Ikarim, now he lists them. That's the ellipsis, I think it's called, the three dots right there. Those are the, that's what we skipped there. When we call Malkam Kfar Yiksha, Lama Yimna Ha'achtos V'Hachokas HaGashmius B'Ikarim. Sorry, I skipped the line. Hine ma tovu ma noyim. Shiyunuchu ikar mitzias Hashem and avu and Torah min Hashemayim. How appropriate is it that HaKadosh, that the Rambam chose, as one of the ikarim, he chose that God exists. Because if you don't have the idea of God existing, so you can't even get off the ground to speak about religion. Or, for instance, that the Rambam chose Torah min Hashemayim, that Hashem communicates to us what He wants us to do. All the mitzvos, how can you have any of that if there's no Torah min Hashemayim? So he says, some of the Rambam's Ikarim, I understand completely. They really are Ikarim. Without them, everything falls away. However, he says, take a look at some of the other things that the Rambam calls an Ikar. For instance, the Rambam says that God doesn't have a body. Let's just say God has a body. He's some old man with a long white beard sitting on a throne someplace. Okay, maybe that's not true. But if you believe that God has a body, our whole religion is just out the window. You can't have a religion if God has a body. Why can't God have a body? God can't figure out a way to be unlimited with a body. Okay, so this is a dispute whether that the fact of physicality, all physicality, is a limitation. But this is a detail in understanding the essence of God. But the religion, God, we could probably figure out a way to have Judaism even if God had a body. Another example that he brings, for instance, not to pray to intermediaries, only Hashem. What, we can have a religion? Okay, it might be a little different than the way we have it now, But everything falls away if it's possible to pray to other things. Yeah. So, 100%. But what the Rav Yosef Albo's point is that there are certain things that without them, everything falls away. There are other things that are very, very important, and if you misunderstand them, so you have a perverted view of Judaism, but they're not so fundamental that without them, nothing gets off the ground. He says the definition of an ikkar is that without them, there's nothing to talk about. You're right. Obviously, if you have a mistaken belief about these things, you have a warped view, and it's not Judaism anymore. It's some new religion. But the point here is, and you're right, and this could be a little bit of the response, what exactly the difference is. But what I think he's saying is that you can't even start with the ABCs without certain of these ikarim. And there are other ones that are obviously crucial. He's not arguing that they're important. But he thinks that you could start things off. And now he says, okay, so maybe the Rambam understands ikar differently. Maybe ikar just means important concepts in Judaism. It doesn't mean foundational ideas. It means important concepts. So then Rav Yosef Albo says to him, why only 13? What about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is show around the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, that one's already like getting a little fluffy. He says, okay, what about creation Yesh Me'ayin? That God created the world out of nothing. That seems to be a pretty important thing. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim goes to great lengths to discuss this topic. Unlike what some people think in the Mor Nevuchim, we won't get into it right now. The Rambam very strongly supports creation from nothing. And yet, that's not one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. Chiddush Olam Yesh Me'ayin. That seems to be a pretty foundational, important concept. If the Yud Gimel Ikarim are just important concepts, so how come the Rambam chose certain ones and not other ones? What about Nisim? Remember I told you that one of the lists is 26. 26 Ikarim. So one of those 26 is Nisim. That we have to believe that God does miracles, like splitting the sea. That also seems to be a pretty important belief. Why only 13? Why these 13 if it's important beliefs? And therefore, Rav Yosef Albo argues on the Rambam, and he says, and this is the Rav Yosef Albo's famous shita in Sefer Ikarim, that there are only three Ikari Imuna. Number one, that God exists, Mitzias Hashem. Number two, that Torah is min Hashemayim. And number three, that there's Schar V'Onesh. God exists. Two, God interacts with the world to the degree that He gave us instruction. He came and He gave us something in which to live by. And number three, that God actively interacts with the world. He punishes people who sin. He rewards people who do well. And this now forms the structure of the Sefer HaIkarim. There are four sections of Sefer HaIkarim. There's actually a very beautiful two-volume set that was printed recently, Sefer HaIkarim, for those of you building up your libraries based on our shiurim here. So there's a two-volume set, very, very beautiful typeset, with two very classic perushim on the bottom. It's a really, really nice set. I should have brought it with me as a show-and-tell piece. But there are four sections of the Sefer HaIkarim. Section number one discusses this whole idea of Ikarim in general, how to define what is an Ikar. And section 2, 3, 4, each one is dedicated to another one of these Ikarim. Mitzios Hashem, Torah Min HaShemayim, and Tzchar V'Onesh. What about all the other Rambams, all the other Yud Gimel Ikarim? So he addresses all of those also, and he explains that all of those are Shorashim under the Ikarim. In other words, there are three main categories. One is that God exists. And within that, you have very important ideas that are central to the belief in God exists. Not only do we believe that God exists, but we believe that He has no body. And we believe that He's the one we should be praying to. In other words, all the things that if you pull them away, everything doesn't disappear, those are still important. They're just protim under the three main categories. So, Torah min HaShemayim. So within that is the idea that the Torah is complete. And that what the Nevi'im said is true. And that Moshe Rabbeinu has the highest form of Nevuah. And that the Torah is not going to be Mukhlafas. All of these things are under the category. Now, how are you going to work in Tchias HaMeisa? Okay, so you look through the Sefer, you'll see he has to work out a lot of the things. What? Maybe Schar V'Onesh, Tchias HaMeisa, for the righteous people. Yimos HaMashiach might also be for those who are rewarded different types of Schar V'Onesh. There might be Schar V'Onesh in this world, Schar V'Onesh in the next world. Okay, so all of this is the topic of the Sefer, and he goes through each of the Ikarim and the Shorashim, and he expands upon them and brings proofs and arguments and very, very beautiful Sefer. Now, from this perspective, and this has been suggested, one could say that the Rambam and the Sefer HaIkarim aren't really arguing. They all agree that there are 13. It's just that Rav Yosef Abu said you can really say them as three general ones, and all the other 10 fit in within these other three. But the truth is, and the Abaye Ben-El already points this out, the Abaye Ben-El wrote a sefer called Rosh Amona. And in that sefer, the whole entire sefer is dedicated to the Yud Gimel Ikar. And he begins, it's not a long sefer, but in Perek Vav of that sefer, he discusses the definition of the word Ikar, and he says that the Rambam and Rav Yosef Abu are clearly arguing, first of all, over how you define the word Ikar. What is an Ikar? But on a more fundamental level, and this is also pointed out by the Abaye Ben-El, on a more fundamental level, the Rambam views the Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? So like I said, some people, sorry to cut myself off there for a second, but some people say that Rambam and Yosef Abba aren't really arguing. The Rambam is just a more expanded version, without the main titles. But the Abaye Ben-El points out that no, the Rambam has a very different view of the Ikarim, because for the Rambam, the Ikarim are not just fundamental ideas, foundational ideas. But for the Rambam, there's another component to the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And that is that the Yud Gimel Ikarim are the entry path, the key, into Olam Haba. If you take a look, we have the Rambam here in Perush Mishnayos. The Rambam tells us, this is where, interestingly, the Rambam doesn't have a list of the Yud Gimel Ikarim anywhere in Mishnah Torah or in the Mor Nevuchim. In the Mishnah Torah, especially in Hilchos Tshuva, he discusses a lot of the Ikarim, but there's no place where he says a Jew must believe these 13 things. The only place the Rambam says this is in his Perush Mishnayos, which he wrote very early in his life. Just an interesting ha'ara, that the Rambam later, when he wrote the Mishnah Torah and when he wrote the Mor Nevuchim, never wrote a list of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. But in his Perush Mishnayos, and this is going on the pasuk of Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek LeOlam Haba, the Rambam tells us, "Kasher Yamin HaAdam Eila Yisodos Kulam." When a person believes all of these Yisodos, that's the Yud Gimel Ikarim, "V'Nizbar Ba Emunaso BaHashem." And it's clear to him that he has the right emunah in Hashem, who nichnas b'kla Yisrael. Right? Famous dispute. Who is a Jew? Very hot topic last century. Who is a Jew? There's even a book, I think, about on that with that title. Or certainly many books discussing that topic. Who is a Jew? He says, when a person believes in these good emunah mikarim, he's nichnas b'kla Yisrael. And then, mitzvah le'ohavo, u'l'rachem olav, u'l'hanhig amo b'chol ma'ashitziv Hashem ish l'chabero. Only then are you mitzuveh to act towards him as if he's a fellow Jew. And then, and only then, if he does all the averos in the world, so he's just a sinner. Right? In other words, how do we define the difference between someone who's just left the fold and someone who's just a sinner? He's a Jew, but he's a sinner. Right? Ava pishachato Yisrael hu. Even though he sinned, he's Yisrael still. How do we define who's a Jew and who's not? Right? I can ask a very simple question. Who's a Jew? So you might tell me, oh, it's someone that we have a shared history with. Oh, really? What about a ger? A ger doesn't have a shared history. Oh, someone who has shared practices. Oh, really? What about a sinner? Doesn't have the same practices as you. Okay, so someone who has the same beliefs. Really? What about a heretic? How do you define, right? How do you define someone who's a Jew? Now we know that in many different areas we define things differently. For certain things it's going to be completely totally on someone who's, if they're born a Jew. But the Rambam tells us here that from his perspective, we define a Jew by his beliefs. If he believes in the Yud Gimel Ikarim, he's nichnas l'kla Yisrael. And if not, he's not nichnas l'kla Yisrael. Now that is a very, from a certain perspective, extreme and controversial definition, which is going to oust many of our beloved brethren. So again, this is not a halacha l'maaseh shir, and this is not being koveya your hashkafa. We're going through different people's opinions to understand so that we have a broader understanding of the discussions. But if you so certainly, that's what I said, certainly on a halachic level, you need a bris milah, and a ger is going to need tevila, and one could say maybe he means to be a Jew for Olam Haba. Doesn't mean to be legally a Jew. It means a Jew for Olam Haba. Remember, he's commenting on the Mishnah of Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek LeOlam Haba. Who gets that Chelek of a Jew? Only if you believe in these things, you get a Chelek as a Jew. Whereas this might not be ousting someone as a biological Jew, but perhaps from a reward and punishment perspective, he's not considered a Jew. Take a look in Hilchos Mamrim. Mi she'ena moda b'torah shebal peh, That's not a Zokin Mamre. Ella Hareza Bechlal HaApikorsin. Me'achash Nespashishu Kofar B'Torah Shabal Pevelo Ma'on Hareyu Keshakol HaApikorsin V'Ha'omrim Ein Torah Min HaShamayim Kol Elu Einom Bechlal Yisrael. Again, he doesn't say he's not Jewish, but he's not a member of Klal Yisrael. Very strong lashon of the Rambam here. And the Abayinel in Perek Vav of Rosh Hashanah says that that's how the Rambam understood the Yud Gimel Ikarim. The Yud Gimel Ikarim are definitional to being a Jew and in order to get into Olam Haba. Where's the Rambam's precedent for such a thing? That's a pretty bold statement. If you don't believe in my list of Yud, remember there was no list of Yud Gimel Ikarim before the Rambam. The Rambam is the first one to put out a list of principles that must be believed in. We call this, in philosophic terms, dogma. These are required beliefs. The Rambam, this is a very bold statement. Does the Rambam have any precedent for such a thing? So let's take a look at the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Kol Yisrael yesh lem chedek li'olam haba. Shenemar, v'yameh chulam tzadikam li'olam yirshu aretz netzer matai masa yadoi lespoer. V'elu, she'en lem chedek li'olam haba. Right? It's a little funny. We just said everyone has olam haba. But these are those who don't. So obviously, kol didn't mean everyone. There's a Tosos like that in Ksubas. Right? It says, kol, everyone who wrote a get for his wife. Right? I think there's a sugya some of us did this morning, no? Everyone who, and Tosos asks, what do you mean everyone? According to Rashi's page in the Gemara, it's not everyone. Okay, anyway. And there are those who don't have a chelik in olam haba. Like who? Ha'omer ein tchiyas ha'meisim in ha'torah. In Torah min ha-shamayim, someone who says, Ein tzchiyas ha-meisim min ha-Torah. So, you could look at this and say, this is the Rambam source. Look, it says that if you deny tzchiyas ha-meisim, you don't get olam haba. But let's analyze the Mishnah for a second. Is this the same thing as what the Rambam said? Let's first of all, anyone have any ha'aretz? Ha-omer ein tzchiyas ha-meisim min ha-Torah. What? Why not? No, the Rambam also said you need these 13 things in order to get into Olam Haba. And he says, and to get into Olam Haba.
Right.
And here, these are people who don't get Olam Haba. Okay, so he leaves out the Klal Yisrael point. 100%. Fine. The Rambam's adding about the Klal Yisrael point. Good. What else? Excellent. That's point number one. Actually, you know what? Before we get to point number one, let's get to point number two. Actually, let's make your thing point number two, and let me say point number one. Point number one is, what does he say? Okay, that's also a good point. First of all, someone who says, Ein tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah. According to here, it's Ein tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah. But I want to look even more fundamental than that, I think. What does he say here? Someone who says, I don't believe in tchias ha-meisim. Someone who denies tchias ha-meisim. What does the Rambam say? You have to actually believe in it. In other words, for the Mishnah, everybody's in. We're all here, we're all in. But if one of you stands up and says, I don't believe in it, I deny it, so you just got ousted. You start in, and if you deny, you're out. But what does the Rambam say? Everybody's out. Now, if you believe in these things, now you're nichnas, now you're in. That's much, much more machmir than this Mishnah. That's point number one. Point number two is what was pointed out over here. By Yaakov. Ha'omer Ein Tchiyas HaMeisim. That wasn't you? Azari? Okay. Ein Tchiyas HaMeisim. Ha'omer Ein Tchiyas HaMeisim. Excuse me. I shouldn't be stressing the Ein. We just stressed the Ein. Now we're stressing the Ha'omer. One who says, what if I believe? What if I don't believe in it, but I don't say it? What if I have doubt? So I don't know what to say. I think, just Lahavdil, I think when the church was prosecuting Galileo, they told him that he cannot hold or affirm the belief of Copernicus. Right? About what the heliocentric, geocentric, how the planets were all worked out. He can't hold or affirm. Now, I'm sure they said it in Latin or some other Russian, but I think that's the translation. Hold or affirm, meaning you can't believe it and you also can't say it. For the Rambam, it certainly doesn't matter what you say. What's it about? You got to believe it. For the Mishnah, it says, Ha'omer. Now, okay, you might say Omer's Lav Dafka. But just, again, we're looking if this can be a source. Maybe it's only if you state, you profess, I don't believe. What if inside you're not sure? Again, I'm not talking about like whether you actually verbalize necessarily or not. But even, what if a person just doesn't know? I'm in doubt about whether God has a body or not. It's the jury's still out. I'm not sure about it. So for the Mishnah, you might be okay. You certainly haven't denied it, and you haven't even said it. But for the Rambam, if you don't actually believe that Rambam has no body, so then you're not Nichnas L'Chal Yisrael. So you might want to point to this Mishnah as precedent for the Rambam, but it's not so poshut at all that this could really be precedent for the Rambam. All right, we only have another three or four minutes, so I just want to make a few more points here. L'maisa, the Chiddush of the Rambam sheet is you have to have a positive belief. You must actively believe in these 13 things. And this is why it was put in the end of davening. The Rambam did not write the Yud Gimel Yikarim that appear. I don't mean Yigdal. There's a short list of the Yud Gimel Yikarim at the end of davening. The Rambam did not write those. And if you analyze them carefully and compare them, so you can make some interesting shiurim about it, about the comparison between how the Rambam words things and how whoever wrote that, we don't know who wrote it, whoever wrote that, how he writes things. I want to point out that there's something very fascinating in the Rambam. I don't see the Makoro sheet here. But the Rambam, when he discusses the sugya of Geirus, one of the halachos, one of the things you have to do when you're Megayer someone, is you have to tell him some of the mitzvos, the kalos and the chamuros. You have to tell him some of the mitzvos. While the person's there in the mikvah, so you say, do you mekabel upon yourself a Shabbos, and you mekabel upon yourself all the mitzvos, and we're modiim lo, I think is the lashon of the Rambam, we inform him of some of the mitzvos. That's the lashon, excuse me, of the Gemara. Gemara in Yevamos, I believe. But the Rambam tells us, and switches it, the Rambam tells us that not only do you tell him the practices, but you also tell him some of the emunos and deos, some of the beliefs. And from our perspective, that's very, very logical that the Rambam would throw that in. The Gemara doesn't say that. But the Rambam throws in the Geirus process, in the conversion process, you don't only teach somebody halachos, you have to also teach them beliefs and ikare imuna. Why? Because for the Rambam, believing in the ikare imuna is so central and fundamental to being a Jew. So I just want to point that out as a horror, that the Rambam Shita manifests itself with halacha as well. Now, according to the Rambam, we have at least two very important nafkaminas. And we sort of made reference to them already. One of them is if you're unsure. What if you're not sure about one of the Ikarei Emuna? So for the Rambam, that's going to be a big problem. A second nafka mina is going to be, what if bishogeg, you accidentally or you mistakenly don't believe in one of the Ikarei Emuna? You have a mistaken belief. You read some psukim, you read a sefer, and you came to a bad conclusion, a wrong conclusion. In general, we're not usually so strict with you, bishogeg. But for the Rambam, if you need these 13 things in order to get into Olam Haba, these 13 things are the basis to get into Olam Haba. Without this, you haven't even gotten to step one. And we don't have the time now, but if B'ezras Hashem, one day we'll have an opportunity to talk about the Rambam's conception of Olam Haba and what Olam Haba is and how strongly Olam Haba is connected to a person's intellect. So it'll be very clear to you when we study that why it makes so much sense that there are certain basic understandings of God that you have to have in order to have a relationship with Him. If you're lacking these 13 basic understandings of God, so you're bechlal, not even shayach to having a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a nitzchi relationship. There is a very, very famous discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid, where the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Paragimel discusses some of the Ikarei Emunah, and he says that the person has to have a body, that you have to believe that Hashem doesn't have a body. And the Ravid jumps on him on that spot. And the Ravid says, he has a very fascinating lashon, the Ravid tells us, Ha'omer she'yesh sham ribon echad elashu guf. What if a person says he has a body? Lama kar lezemin. Why is the Rambam, the Ravid asks, get so upset about this guy who says that Hashem has a body? Listen to this lashon. Kama gidolim v'tovim mimenu. There are lots of people who are much greater and better than the Rambam, shuholchu b'zeha machshava, who believed that Hashem has a body. Lefi ma shiro'u b'mikros, v'yotem yima shiro'u b'divrei agados. They read psukim. Psukim speak about enei Hashem, yad Hashem. They read midrashim that seem to refer to physical things, and they had an understanding that Hashem has a body. Many people who are tovim, gedolim and tovim from the Rambam, who believe that God has a body. So, on surface level, you might say, wow, the Rambam and Ravid have a machlokas about whether God has a body or not. That's clearly not what's going on here. The Ravid certainly agrees with the Rambam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body. He's just saying that doesn't, well, he could be saying a few things. On a simple level, what he's saying is, that I just don't think this is one of the Ikari Emunah. This doesn't make you a heretic. You're wrong if you think God has a body, but you're not out of Olam Haba. There are so... that there were other people. How can the Rambam say that you're a heretic for believing this? There were many people greater than the Rambam who believe that God does have a body. There are so many different ways that you can understand this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. You could say that the Ravid holds that there are no Ikarim. And that's why he's arguing. Why are you calling this guy a min? You could say that he thinks that there are Ikarim, but belief that Hashem doesn't have a body, that's not one of the Ikarim. Or you can say that there are Ikarim, and this is actually one of them, but this doesn't prevent you from Olam Haba. There's so many different ways you can learn up this machlokas. But Rav Yosef Albo, and we're going to end with this, Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikrim agrees with the Ravid here, and he says, well, depending on how you understand the Ravid, but Rav Yosef Albo says that this is not one of the Ikari Emunah. You don't lose Olam Haba for this. And this is a big machlokas in general about some of the Ikarim, about which ones are more central. Of course, according to the Rambam, none of them are more central. They're all equally central. But I hope that this gave you a little bit of a hakdama to understanding a little bit about the Ikari Emunah. What's important for you to remember for sure is the Rambam has 13, Rav Yosef Albo has 3. A little bit about the different definitions of what an Ikar is. And I think, Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we're going to begin the Tkufa Ta'achronim. Tkufa Sa'achronim. Moving on from the Rishonim.